This meeting is gonna be long, so grab a snack and buckle up. Good afternoon, everyone. Today I will be reading through chapter 4 of my published novel, Death Chill, as well as going over the scene from the meeting 2 weeks ago. But this meeting is already going to be long as is, so let's just get right into it. Death Chill. Written by Portia Aubrey, narrated by Portia Aubrey. Chapter 4. Too Much to Process. It's raining. Lightning strikes down everywhere. A voice calls out to me. Lexus. 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 There's more than one now. It's slowly shifting into a chant. Are they cheering me on? I look over and see a crowd of my friends in the bleachers, and a few of my classmates, at least 3 duplicates of each. Now I'm inside, and wearing the Grim Reaper's emblem, a black scythe resting on the shoulders, and a skull and black mist wrapped around it. I look around the room and see Julian. He's wearing the Demon Slayer's emblem. I glance behind me and see Julian tied up, cheering me on. I peep back to see Rebekska. Loud, heavy footsteps come towards me. I wake up. Today is the day that I need to decide what team I'm going to be on. I want to be on the Grim Reapers. In fact, just yesterday, the leader of the Grim Reapers invited me to personally join. It was such a big deal. So much that my friends and family threw me a party in celebration of the invitation. I also have a hangout day planned with Julian tomorrow. I'm especially glad that he only heard me up to me yelling that I don't like him, instead of everything everyone else was saying. I wonder where he's going to take me. Good morning, Lexus. Are you excited for school? My mother asks, with the usual motherly, upbeat tone. Yes, I am, I respond, barely opening my eyes. I've prepared you a huge breakfast downstairs, so just head down when you're ready, my mom says, slowly closing my bedroom door. I start to slowly drift back to sleep, too tired to use my powers to wake myself up. I start to go back into my dream, but a few sounds in it are familiar. Footsteps. They force me to wake back up. Wake up, a voice yells, probably Dez's, as he jumps onto me. Troy turns on my lights. Dez, don't you think it's a little too early for that? Stop acting so mature, come on, Dez yells, not getting off of me. So lucky that I don't sleep naked. That would have ended up terribly. Troy walks up and pulls the covers off of me. Come on, Lexus, it's your big day. Troy, grab her legs and I'll get her arms, Dez demands, as they drag me out of bed and toss me into the bathroom. Good morning, Destroy, I mutter with a yawn. Morning, they both say in unison. Be down ASAP. Now that I'm awake, I start to brush my teeth, noticing that I've gotten another pimple, probably from all the junk I've been eating lately. I wash my face and just leave it be. It's not ready to pop yet. Then brush my hair and do my morning stretches. Toe touches, squats, that kind of stuff. I'm finally ready for school and go downstairs for breakfast. There are so many smells I don't know how to process it. The feeling of fullness is already creeping up on me. Well, it's about time, baby girl. How's my princess doing? My father asks, looking up with a warm smile. I'm fine, thanks, Dad, I say, sitting down at the table. A fruit tea for the lady? Dez sets down the cup with the Barbie girl apron on. Our mother probably forced him to wear it. Why, thank you, I grin, giving him a little bow. So what team are you planning on joining? My mother asks as she sets all of the food on the table. Oh yeah, how many have you been invited to again? My father asks. 289 out of 578. So half of the team's in the whole school, I respond, drooling from all the food. Pancakes, waffles, fruits, vegetables, Pop-Tarts, Toasted Strudels, maple syrup, honey, butter, chocolate syrup, caramel syrup, and little pieces of cheesecake. That's just the beginning. I don't even eat this much. Why did I make so much food? It'll just end up being wasted. What? Half of the teams and more? My dad's mouth gapes open in complete shock. The food continues to pile in. Why is no one overwhelmed by all this food? Why do you mean by and more? I ask, confusion in my expression. Knowing you, you'll probably get another 200 invites today alone. You'll probably be invited by all the teams before the school year ends, my dad explains with a prideful chuckle. Well, that's just amazing. So, Lexus, what team are you planning on joining? My mother asks again. Well, Grim Reapers is my first choice, I answer, with a smile as wide as the breakfast table, as it continues to fill up with food. Everyone went silent. They're just staring at me. A hint of intimidation creeps up into my consciousness. What did I say? Do they have something against that team? What's going on? What teams were you invited to again? My father asks, not blinking. Grim Reapers, Shadow Angels, Wolf Fang, Sky Dragons, Stormy Rains, Demon Slayers, Mobile Kinetics, Social Starships, Star Slaughterers, God Slayers, and more. I list all of them with a monotone voice. Why don't you join Demon Slayers? They're first every year, my mother asks. Because I want to join Grim Reapers, I exclaim, a little worried by their possible reaction. Well then, I believe that you'll make the best choice for you, my father states, grabbing us some plates. Thanks, Dad, I respond, still a little cautious. Well, looks like breakfast is ready, my mother smiles, with hands on her hips and pride in her voice. We start preparing our plates, putting a little bit of everything on it. Eggs, sausage, fruit, pancakes, cheesecakes, bacon. I was pretty much making a breakfast cake. So, Dez and Troy, who else is on your team? God Slayers, was it? I asked them, forking food into my mouth. Rachel Zapp, they both say in unison, with the same amount of food stuffed into their mouths. What's her ranking? My mom asks with curiosity. Third. I answer, acting like it's not a big deal, even though I'm nowhere near her. Oh yeah, I've been meaning to ask you guys. Would you like to be entered into extra training after school? My dad asks, devouring 6 jumbo pieces of maple bacon. Yes, Dez and Troy and synchronize once again. I don't know, Dad. I'm really enjoying my free time. I stutter, not exactly scared of his reaction, but more by what if I do. Do it and end up losing contact with all my friends. I'm sure that if Anne was here, she would have just read my mind and called everyone over for a group hug. Really, no one can be upset around her. She doesn't need superpowers to control moods and thoughts. She can already do it by herself. It's fine, Princess. You can do whatever you want, but at least go to one of the sessions, Dad says, giving me a little side hug. Okay, I'll see how much I like it. My smile is big and bright. That's my girl. He grins, scratching my head. There's a knocking at the door. I'll get it, my mother shouts, rushes over to it. Hello? Hey, Ma! The voice is distant, but I already know who it is. Oh, good morning, Samuel. Care to come inside? My mother asks and gestures towards the kitchen. Samuel's close enough to my family, and spends so much time here to the point that he even calls my parents Mom and Dad, without raising any eyebrows. I would love to. Samuel skips inside my house. So what's for breakfast? Literally everything, I grin, walking up to him and giving him a hug. Good morning, Samuel. You know, a person who doesn't know your family very well would be confused by that, Samuel mentions, taking a seat at the table. What's the occasion? Lexus is choosing a team today, Dez answers, mouth full of waffles and croissants. He uses his knife to point at me. Oh, what team are you on, Samuel? My dad asks. I'm on Stormy Rains, Samuel says, still trying to decide which dish to start with. That's cool. Who else is on it? My mom asks, sitting very prestigious. Brick Sticks is the main one, Samuel answers, starting with 8 chocolate chip pancakes topped with bacon-flavored maple syrup and some fruit. He's ranked 5th. How's the new soul treating you? Troy asks, with a bit of egg falling out of his mouth. Oh, sorry. Pretty good, but a bit scary, Samuel says, spreading extra chunky peanut butter on some waffles. How so? My mom asks with a concerned brow. So as you guys know, I'm unconscious. I have no way of holding my souls back. So I have to tie myself down before going to bed. Samuel starts, trying to swallow the peanut butter waffle sandwich. So this morning, I woke up covered in blood, and I thought that one of my female souls started their period. Luckily, everything was clear, but when I finally woke up and went into my room, I saw an almost dead elderly man on my floor. Everyone became quiet, possibly making this a moment of silence for the poor old man. Well, what happened? Dez asks, breaking through the silence like a triangle in an ensemble. My parents took him to the hospital, and apparently a guy was threatening to shoot him. So the Sholowari broke out of bed and was wandering the streets. We ended up coming across them. The Sholo started attacking the dude with a gun and ate him. Then the old man fainted, so we ended up taking him back to my place. We've already erased his memory, and there was no one around, so that was lucky. Samuel explains, seeming to forget that there's two adults in front of him. So the blood wasn't from the old man? My mother asks, raising an eyebrow. Luckily, no. I'm still a little traumatized from seeing a bloody old man on my floor, though. Samuel asks, dipping some strawberries into the chocolate fountain. Want us to ask someone to erase that event from your memory? My dad offers. Somehow neither of them care that Samuel ate someone. No need. I'm planning on getting a Valpal. Samuel answers. A Valpal is a journal-like book that you are able to put your memories into. Once you put your memories into the book, you will not be able to remember them without reading the book or having it with you. Better eat a little faster. We have to meet up with everyone else, Samuel mentions to me, filling up his plate once again. How is he even still hungry? He ate a whole human and more. Says the one that's filling his plate, I chuckle mockingly. Just wait until your guys' metabolism slow down. My dad speaks with an old man laugh. Oh yeah? Breakfast tastes great, by the way. Thank you. Samuel quickly exclaims, turning to my mother. Where are your parents, Samuel? My father asks. They are at work. They also wanted me to say thank you for letting me spend so much time here. Samuel responds with a smile so kind and genuine it might as well have been from a child. There is another knocking at the door. I'll get it, Samuel and I say in unison. We open the door and see Anne and Lucas outside. Huh? Where'd they go? Lucas asks, looking around. They were just here a second ago. Just give them a second, Anne exclaims, with a slight sign of annoyance. I look at her with confusion. Hey guys, come on in, Samuel sings. Thank you, Anne answers. Lucas is still looking around, which seems to be annoying Anne even more. We walk back inside, and of course, she and Hawkeye are sitting in our seats. Well, 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 we've been expecting you, they say in unison. Dez, Troy, why do your friends never come over? My dad asks as he chucks bacon into She's mouth. I don't know, they shrug. Oh yeah, when are the first training sessions, I ask, turning to my mother. Training sessions? Lucas stares quizzically at me. Any night after school, my mother answers. Yeah, my brothers and I are getting extra training after school, I mention, turning to Lucas. What about our free time? Hawkeye asks with a large frown. I'll still have weekends. Right? I ask, turning to my parents. It depends on if you want to join the team or not. My father coughs on a piece of toast. That sounds fun, I say sarcastically and sigh. Well, if you do the extra training, then we're hanging out whenever you're free, she orders, smacking me with a pancake. Deal. I show the kind of smile that you would see in many animes. We finish our breakfast and head to school. There's still plenty of food left. I don't know what's going to happen to it, though. I think they donate it, but I'm pretty sure they just bring them to parties or throw parties while we're gone. I don't even know where all the food came from. Our cupboards and fridge are always full, but not that full to hold that much food. Hey, Lexus, is your family rich? Lucas asks out of nowhere. Like, you live in a mansion, lots of food, a pool and hot tub, and, well, yeah. I guess if you put it that way, then yeah, but it honestly doesn't feel that way, I answer. I honestly didn't even think about that. I never really noticed that kind of stuff. You're joking, right? Hawkeye asks. She puts his hand on her shoulder. You never noticed how nice you have it? I guess not. I never really paid attention to that kind of stuff, I shrug. I guess that means that you still have some innocence. Nice, Hawkeye states, calming down a little. This is the changing subject song. It's time to talk about something else. Samuel sings, which somehow actually helps with changing the subject, though the rest of the time the topic was us critiquing his voice. We make our way to school. Every member of the Grim Reapers is waiting for me at the main entrance. Good morning, Lexus. We hope that you'll be joining us today, Daria Mungson says, as another member hands me a cake. What's the big deal with Lexus anyways? Why does everyone want her around? Hawkeye asks, her voice full of annoyance. Because of her powers, parents, and brothers. A boy in the back of the group answers. Her powers suck. Her parents heal people, and her brothers are annoying. That's not exactly a good person to have on your team, Rebecca growls, pushing my friends and I out of the way. Good morning, Rebecca. Didn't your team invite her as well? Daria Mungson asks with a coy grin. I was against it, Rebecca states, giving me a death stare. What do you want now, Rebecca? She asks, helping Hawkeye off of the ground. Just to remind Lexus that she is a loser, especially since she is hanging out with you guys. Mainly Anne, Rebecca answers, noticing the cake. Seriously? A cake? That's just sad. How dare you? Hawkeye yells. You can't just treat Anne like that. She! Hawkeye and she take each other's hands and transfer into she's to seat Hawkeye. Ooh, I'm so scared, Rebecca says with the patronizing sarcasm. Piat kiat, re rod ko, re ko pi pli di yips, mozak pli pi, re rod ko, re ko ko xait ko yips re, xait meek re yips, pli mo, dorp kai di mo ko zax yips, rod pli piko, mo pli zak yips ak priko. Re rod ko migzap, xait pli tongi ko zak yips. Ke xait pli di, kiat pli ke, xait ak migdi. She sasit Hawkeye. They were casting a spell in the language known as tongi migdi, which translates to wind. They just said, may the demons from the deepest pits of Lucifer's home forsake their powers upon you. Pain. The way the language works is that every letter in the alphabet has its own pronunciation. When writing, we use symbols. When speaking, we, well, pronounce it. We should be reviewing it in class soon, too. A blood-curdling scream escapes from Rebecca's throat. Everyone starts looking over here. The Grim Reapers are frozen in fear. So much for being able to handle death. Yips re plieg zeit. Ak dorp dorp. Zeit ak migdi, do kai ak zak re mig ak di, ak di do ko dorp. A voice yells. My mother walks in front of Shisasi Hawkeye, with her hands on her hips. The spell that my mom casts is pronounced Stop All Pain, Guardian Angel. The screaming stops. A few people are clapping, probably the people of healing powers that are impressed by my mom. Rebecca gasps for air. You'll pay for this. Not so fast, Rebecca. I heard everything, she says, dragging her back. She says to Hawkeye, change back before I make Lexus make you. They change back, hesitant at first. Sorry, Mercedes, she apologizes with the pouty lip. I'm not the one you're supposed to be apologizing to, my mother articulates with a stern tongue and hands on her hips. But knowing you guys, that won't happen. So I'm certain that you guys know what's going to happen to now. Paul Diamondship starts pushing his way through the crowd. What is the meaning of this? Rebecca starts fake crying. Dad! Don't you dare start. I know that you're going to lie, my mother interrupts. Well, what happened then? Mr. Diamondship questions. Controlling the weather with his anger. Lightning striking down on the poor people who have water and lightning powers. Lucas bolts inside for cover. Rebecca was bullying everyone here, physically, verbally, and mentally. Then she and Hawkeye were defending their friends, my mother exclaims, surprisingly making us seem like the good guys despite how angry she is. Disappointment. All three of you are suspended. Please leave the premises after the team joining thing. Also, detention. Follow me, Mr. Diamondship demands, with disappointment riddled all over his face. Lexus, we'll talk about this when you get back from training, my mother adds sternly. Okay, Mom. Love you, I say with the most innocent voice, and starts voice I could muster. She gives me a hug and kisses me on the forehead, and starts waving me goodbye as she walks away. The Grim Reapers are still frozen, and looking around. The people with the control of the weather are trying to make it sunny again. We're all soaking wet, and Lucas is perched on a window looking down at us, waiting for the weather to clear up. My friends notice me looking up at him and start to laugh because of how dumb he looks. A few members of the Grim Reapers have finally exited the state of shock. That was so cool, they say in unison. Their voices do not sound good together. They're already on a team, Zing Hunter interjects, covered in pheromone cologne. Good morning, Lexus. Are you wearing cologne? I ask him, straight-faced. No. Maybe. Zing looks down. Yes. Why? I ask. I'm sure that you already know, Zing answers with a sad smile. I do know. His rank was lower than Rebecca's, so she broke up with him. He sure got over it quickly, but that's no surprise. She was a nightmare towards him. Lexus, what about Julian? Anne asks. Who's Julian? Zing asks, obviously getting jealous. Get over your competitive nature. He's just a non-magic user from our non-magic school, Anne answers, lightly smacking Zing across the head. I'm spending time with him tomorrow. Before I go for training, I add, checking the time, hoping for the bell to ring. It's a date, Samuel finally speaks. It's not a date, I yell. Everyone starts looking at me. It's a raisin, a few voices whisper in the crowd and turn away. I sigh with relief. Lexus, I need to ask you something, Zing says, grabbing my wrist. The bell finally rings. Talk later, okay? I show a pained smile, struggling to break free from his grip. He's holding too tightly, so I burn him a little so I can break loose. Okay, he says with a sad expression. We started walking to our class. What was all that about? Lucas asks, catching up with us. I don't know, I respond, contemplating to myself why he was acting that way. Hey guys, she calls as Hawkeye and him walk towards us. Hawkeye still looks mad. Just be happy that she's not in our class, okay? Samuel says, trying to cheer her up. All right, she whispers, not looking up at us. We've made it to class, and Mrs. Jerper greets us at the doors. Good morning, everyone. What's on today's schedule? Brian asks, marching in with his friends. It was supposed to be about magic history, but because of what's going on today, I have to make it quick. It will be about the alphabet for spells. Now take your seats. Mrs. Dripper answers, pointing towards the sitting area. How convenient. Ha! She and Hawkeye have detention. Brian laughs as he sits down with his friends. Yes, that is true. Also, after the team sign-ups, she, Hawkeye, and Rebecca will be suspended, Mrs. Dripper mentions with a sad look on her face. Everyone take your seats, and I will start class. We will all take our seats. Okay. Okay, class, I will start with the letters and then move on to the numbers, Mrs. Gerber explained. A is pronounced ack, B is pronounced bo, C is pronounced D, D is pronounced re, E is pronounced co, F is pronounced mo. I can already tell that about half of the class is already zoned out. Mrs. Gerber continues. G is pronounced do, H is pronounced rod, I is pronounced mig, J is pronounced pre, K is pronounced morth, L is pronounced dorp, M is pronounced pi, N is pronounced D, O is pronounced plea, I know it's just the alphabet, but she could at least say something other than is pronounced. Mrs. Dripper doesn't seem to notice how bored everyone is, and continues to put us to sleep. P is pronounced Zeit. Q is pronounced Zeke. R is pronounced Zach. S is pronounced Yeeps. T is pronounced Ray. U is pronounced K. We're almost done. Mrs. Dripper starts to catch on, but doesn't seem to care. V is pronounced Wong. W is pronounced Tongi. X is pronounced Xiny. Y is pronounced Kiat. And Z is pronounced Moch. Now for the numbers. Everyone groans. Hey, this stuff is important for your spells. Couldn't she have at least quickly made something that made this more interesting? Like one of those quizzes that are put on up onto the screen and the entire class has to compete for first place. Mrs. Stripper starts again. 1 is pronounced ta. 2 is pronounced ki. 3 is pronounced tika. 4 is pronounced ka. 5 is pronounced zo. 6 is pronounced vo, vol. 7 is pronounced quo. Almost done. Come on. 8 is pronounced bup. 9 is pronounced gash. And 0 is pronounced mew. It's about time. This is so boring. Look, I understand that you guys are in 9th grade and you shouldn't have to learn about Tongi MGD anymore. But you have to since it's essential for spells. And shouts out, what about people like me who can only read minds? It's not like I can use spells. That's the thing. You can use spells. Come talk to me before lunch. I'll give you some books to study. And since your power doesn't exactly give you any strength advantage, you'll also need to learn hand-to-hand combat. Mrs. Dripper states, giving a lesson that's actually useful. Though, it's only helpful for Anne. Yay, books! Anne squeals. A few kids roll their eyes at that remark. Anne has loved school. Books and reading for as long as I can remember. In first grade, she was already reading at a university level. The teacher wanted to boot her up a few years, but her parents said no, and wanted her to enjoy her time with her friends. For a demonstration, I will use my spells for my telekinetics, Mrs. Dripper says, getting into a casting stance. Pi-a-kyot, re-rod-ko, do-pli-ri, pli-mo, do-zak-ak-wong-mig-ri-kyot, di-ak-ke-yips-ko, ak D Zak Ak Yeeps Rod. Plimo Pico Reco Pli Zak Yeeps. Ak Sight Pli Di Ak Dorp Kiat Sight Yeeps Ko. A bunch of meteors start crashing to the ground. I feel bad for the janitors since they have to clean it up. Whoa, what was that? Brian yells in awe, staring out the windows as kids use their powers to break the meteors. What I said was, may the god of gravity cause a crash of meteors. Apocalypse, Mrs. Dripper explains with a prideful grin. Mrs. Dripper, can you please get rid of the meteors that you called in? Right now, Mr. Diamondship yells over the announcements. Ha, all right. Ka idi re pli, ak dorp dorp, raid rod ko, rod ak zak pli, pi. Ray rod ak ray, mig. D-ak-ke-yeeps-ko-ri. Ak-zeit-pli-di-ak-dorp-kia-zeit-yeeps-ko. Mrs. Dripper yells. All of a sudden, all of the meteors disappear, and all the kids and buildings are fine again. The spell that I cast was pronounced, unto all of the harms that I caused. Apocalypse. Why did you have to do that? I yell out. Because all of the safer stuff I can do in here don't require a spell. Mrs. Dripper exclaims. Also, I've created a website that will show you guys the symbols for each letter, so you can practice written spells. It's a totally, it's at totally-real-website/tongimigd.ca. Brian raises his hand. How do we learn new spells? Either read a book or someone can teach you, Anne answers. How are spells created? Stephen shouts out. Some very smart people who do their research. Also, in about a month or so, you guys will be assigned to make your own spells, Mrs. Dripper answers. One to improve strength, one for healing, one for defense, and one for stealth, and one for speed. All of that for each of your powers. Well, I'm lucky then, Anne exclaims with a laugh. She obviously upset a few people with that remark. Pick a god that goes well with your power, and do some research. I'll discuss what kind of research when the time comes, Mrs. Dripper explains. Want to know what I find funny? Brian asks. What? Mrs. Dripper responds. The fact that non-magic users think only one religion and story is true, when they're actually all true. All of the gods are real. Everything is real. And we're all just protecting them from the truth. Why is that? What are we protecting them from? Brian asks. Some of our people who can see into the future saw a future where we told them the truth, and all hell broke loose because of the more dark religions and beliefs. So we are protecting them from the truth, from themselves. Mrs. Dripper answers. The announcements start. Good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, September 10th, 6078, and these are today's announcements. Mr. Diamondship continues. Today is the big day, the day to join a team. There are 578 this year, so choose wisely. The first team competitions will start on Wednesday next week, where they will be ranked. In exactly 5 minutes, you all will be teleported to an area where the event will take place, so please be prepared. Paul Diamondship, signing off. Well, 5 minutes. Everyone, please line up. Mrs. Dripper rolls her eyes. We all get up and line up in front of the door. Since the classes are so big, we are given 5 minutes to line up on even ground. The reason why we have to be on even ground is because when we're teleported, the people on higher ground will be in the air when we appear, and the urgent landing can hurt their joints. The 5 minutes are up, and we are instantly teleported. It's an indoor field, and there are booths all up and down the rows, kind of like the science fair. Alright guys, you've got 2 hours until lunch, so go quickly, Mr. Diamondship announces. All of a sudden, I was bombarded by teams waiting, wanting me to sign up with them. My friends are pretty much acting as my bodyguards. I still don't know why I'm so popular. It's almost like somebody is controlling how they feel. No pictures, she yells, pushing someone back. He's getting really into this whole bodyguard thing. Hey, where's the Grim Reapers? I shout into the air. All of a sudden, a row was opened up towards the Grim Reapers. Okay. That was pretty cool. Everyone lined up and bowed as I walked past them. What's going on? A sense of panic starts to rise within me. Randomly, somebody took my hand and pulled me into the crowd and out of the building. It was Brian. I'm so, so very sorry, Lexus. He apologizes and attempts to catch his breath. What's going on? I ask. My powers are growing all out of whack, he explains, looking at his hands. I was testing something out, and well, now it's spreading. What do you mean? I ask. I hear people screaming for me in the background. What were you testing out? All of a sudden, there was a bang, and I heard a voice calling for me. Lexus, wake up, Brian shouts in my ears as he shakes me. You need to wake up. We're going soon. What do you mean? I ask, as he's shaking me. I am awake, eerie screeching, and a dark figure explodes the whole building. They're wearing a black cloak with a hood, a skeleton mask, knives in their boots, and a sword by their side, a bow, and arrows on their back, a scar across their eye, and blood all over them. Almost like they just killed some people. The person, no. The demon jumps up with so much power that the dust from the exploded building causes a tiny tornado. The person takes out their sword, and it lights up in a black fire. The souls of the unavenged. They strike down, and all of a sudden, I'm back in the classroom. Everyone is looking at me. I glance at Brian, and it seems that he was asleep as well. I look over at Anne, and she nods. She saw the whole thing. A dream? A nightmare? The future? No, it can't be the future. I've already reported the dream that you two had. Now come line up. Anne orders, rubbing my back. I pinch myself to make sure that everything is real. It is, so far. I walk up to Brian. He looks afraid. Are you testing anything? I ask him. Maybe. He mumbles, not looking at me. Let's talk about this later. Meet me at the training field at lunch. I help him up. Okay. He stutters. We'll have to assess your guys' brains after you sign up for the teams, Mrs. Jerper mentions. We teleport just like in the dream. We're in an indoor field with all the teams lined up and down the rows like a science fair. Unlike the dream, nobody notices me. I'm not getting surrounded by a bunch of people. I'm not being seen as a big deal this time. I guess I kind of miss it, but I prefer my real life much more. I'll see you guys later, I shout, waving goodbye to my friends. Bye, they wave and shout back. I start walking to the Grim Reapers. It's on the far end of a several-mile-long field. I should have asked She or Hawkeye to teleport me there. Anne says you're welcome, she says, teleporting me to the stand. I laugh. Thanks, I say. I guess that having a friend that can read minds does have its perks. Thanks, Anne. Good morning, Lexus. So you've decided to join us after all? Daria Monkson greets me, handing me a needle, an orb, a varsity jacket, and other stuff with the team's symbol on it. I guess so, I mutter, plucking myself with a needle and rubbing it on the orb that she gave me, and an orb that was on the stand. When does training start? After lunch on the training field. You'll be a few minutes late to your real-world class. Every day, Daria exclaims. All right, thank you, I say as I'm teleported into a weird testing lab. What's going on? I yell, and struggle in my bindings. Calm down, we're just assessing your brains, Mr. Diamondship explains, reassuring me. Just sit back and relax. It shouldn't be too painful. Okay, I breathe, looking for Brian. He's beside me. He looks like he just got the life beaten out of him. He slowly starts to look up, giving Mr. Diamondship a death stare. So filled with hate, it looks like he wants to torture him and everyone he loves. That's not Paul Diamondship, he says with difficulty. Mr. Diamondship whips him with a shock of lightning. Shut up, you stupid rat! Brian screeches in pain. Lexus! Kill him! Brian! I yell. Do it! He screams. Mo mig zat ko, di pli dorpri, rico ak rayrod, bo ko mo ak dorp dorp, keg zait pli di, rayrod mig yeeps, zait pli yeeps kozak, ak di ke bo mig yeeps, rayrod ko do pli ri, mo pli mo rico ak rayrod, rod ko zait rod ak ko yeeps, ray ke yeeps, rayrod ko. Do pli re. Pli mo. Pli mo mig zak ko. Bo pli zak ko ag keeps. Re rod ko do pli re. Pli mo. Di pli dorp re. Dorp ak kiat. Ak bo dorp ak di pri ko re. Pli mo. Re ko ak re rod. Ke zait pli di. Ray Rod Mig Yeeps Zeit Pli Yeeps Kozak. Ta Mew Mew. Ray Mig P Ko Yeeps. Re Zak Pli Di Ko Do Ko Zak. I cast my spell. That is currently a work in progress. What I said was, fire, cold death. Befall upon this poser. Anubis, the god of death. Hephaestus, the god of fire. Boreas, the god of cold. Lay a blanket of death upon this poser, 100 times stronger. I use all 3 of my powers combined in this spell. A blood-curdling scream exits from Mr. Diamondship's mouth. Good job, Lexus. Now get us out of here, Brian yells. I'll melt the bars, I say, breaking both of us 3. Wait, Your powers are fire and explosions. Why didn't you do it yourself? Brian lifts up his arms and shows me the jewelry going all the way down his wrist. This is why. Well, let's get out of here, I shout, looking around. Where is here? I don't know, but we're locked in by computer code, Brian exclaims, pointing at a huge computer that goes alongside a wall. I can open it. I walk up to the machine. Damn, this thing's old. I'll try to find a way to get this jewelry off of me, Brian looks around. I start by entering some simple codes. 1234, 1111. None of them work. I'll just make the machine overheat. I place my hands on the two main points of the computer, heating it up. It gave me a message saying that's overheating and will shut off almost instantly. The door opens, and I look at Brian. Told you so. Good job. Let's go, Brian smiles, rushing out of the room. We exit the room, and Daria's outside with a stopwatch. And time! 1 minute and 21 seconds. New high score! Can at least one thing be a reality today? I sigh. At this rate, you're on your way to being our new team leader, Brian grins. I pinch him, and he changes into one of the other members. Figures. Anyways, you guys really need to work on your simulations. I instantly knew it wasn't real, I mentioned looking around. I just didn't say anything because it seemed like it was going to be interesting. Thank you for letting us know. Also, the real Mr. Diamondship wants to see you in his office, Daria adds. I wonder who the current leader of the team is. As I was walking away, Daria pointed at some people in the crowd. Please go fix the computer and update the simulations. I enter Paul Diamondship's office, immediately seeing Brian. He's not covered in cuts and bruises, luckily. Instead of anger, he has fear or even guilt on his face. I sure hope that this is reality. Too much has happened so far. I just noticed something. The eye colors are different compared to Mr. Diamondship. And that guy. Wait, what happened to the guy that I used my power on? I hope he's okay. I know that the healers on the team can just eliminate the pain, but still, I hope he's okay. I didn't really pay attention to him after I attacked him. I just canceled out his screams. Mr. Diamondship notices me and signals me to sit. Come in, Lexus. Take a seat. Thank you, I smile as I sit next to Brian. This is the first time I was in Mr. Diamondship's office without a bunch of people here. It kind of has a mix of modern, vintage, and a log house style. A fireplace, a large wind desk, vintage paintings. Paintings by William Bursky, Francois Bucourt, Alan Edson, and others. He also has modern frames for the paintings, modern carpeting, and log shelves. I've been told about the dreams you two had, so I called in some people to assess them. Mr. Diamondship continues as they walk inside, almost like this was rehearsed. No need to know their names, so if you please sit still, everything will proceed smoothly. Two men come towards us and place their hands on our heads. I see a dim light come out of them. Get Brick Sticks in here. We need his Ark of Time, one of the men says. Right away, Mr. Diamondship goes over to his desk to make an announcement. Can one of our teleporters please bring Brick Sticks to my office? Thank you. Mr. Diamondship takes a seat at his desk as Brick Sticks is teleported into the office. What is it? Brick Sticks asks, with some attitude in his voice. Judging by the look of shock on his face, he didn't mean for it to sound like he had an attitude. Have you seen anything in your Ark of Time? One of the men asks him. What are you looking for specifically? Brick asks, crossing his arms. One of the men walked up to him and placed their hand on his head, probably showing him a memory. A what? Brick tries to answer, but is instantly cut off. Mr. Diamondship, a fight just broke out. Mr. Stern comes barging in. Why can't you do it yourself? Mr. Diamondship asks, rage sickening in his aura. My powers aren't working, Mr. Stern says, catching his breath. He is clearly running without his powers. Brian, Lexus, I need you two to follow me, Mr. Diamondship yells, opening a window. I have motion sickness. I'll vomit everywhere, Brian states with fear in his voice. He has a fear of heights, one of the men cut in. Shut it, Brian whispers, giving the guy a death stare. Lexus, numb him with your cold powers, Mr. Dimeship demands. Why don't you just teleport us there? I ask him. That power isn't working right now, he responds with urgency. Now numb him. So you're just going to pick us up and jump out a window, I yell. What if that power isn't working either? I didn't think of that. Fine, let's run, Mr. Diamondship says as he bolts out the door. Brian pulls me aside as we are running. Plexus, come with me. Why? I ask. Just come on, he asks. He starts to pull me away. We make our way to a chemistry lab, where potions are made. I caused that fight, Brian confesses. Okay, two questions. One, why? Two, what about the magic powers? I ask, watching as he set up some beakers. I use my powers to make them think that they don't work. I made them doubt themselves, Brian answers as he grabs some herbs and dead animals out of the cupboards. As for why I caused the fight, it was so that I can get us away from them and explain to you why we saw those dreams. Also, the fight is between Rebecca and Zing, just to let you know. Those two fighting would make sense, especially since they recently broke up. I agree, watching as he sets up everything on the lab tables. So what's with all this stuff? I kind of have a crush on Anne. So I need your help making the love potion, Brian mutters, starting to blush. Why don't you just ask her out? I shrug. Not like she has her eyes on anyone. I'm afraid of her saying no, Brian utters, mixing some Piroli, a rare glass, grassy-like magma that comes out of the shredding from an Akinji, Ureli, a tooth from a windcap, and some boiled Liquol, a puss from a unicorn, after it stabs itself with its own horn. And I don't want to use my powers on her because I want her to actually love me back. She's not some puppet. I love her, says the person trying to make a love potion. I roll my eyes. Brian looks down and back up at me. He seems disappointed in himself. You're right. I'll bring everything back to normal again. Can you please dispose of this for me, though? Yeah, sure, I nod as I put it in the holster around my waist with the rest of my potions. Make sure that it doesn't get on anyone, Brian warns me. Don't worry, I got this, I smile as he rushes out. I could just pour it down a drain, but because of the pus, it won't go down properly, so I have to find a potion disposal can. I walk around the room and check every inch of it, but it's not here. They must be getting cleaned right now. Why now, of all times? I walk out of the room and make my way to the contaminated person's bathroom. That bathroom is for anyone who has been contaminated in some sort of way, either from a potion, an attack, and so on. I'm pretty sure that there's a can in there. There should always be a can in there. I get to the bathroom, and luckily, there is a can. I dump it and exit the bathroom where my friends start to come towards me. Hey guys, I say with a low wave. What were you doing in there? Are you feeling okay? Samuel immediately starts asking me. Anne is obviously already reading my mind. Can't let her know about what just happened. Unicorns, rainbows, ice cream, and butterflies. She laughs. I'm fine, just looking for someone. I glance around. Brian? She asks, wrapping his arms around my neck. Yep, I nod, trying to act as little suspicious as I can. Yeah, we just walked past him. He said hi to Anne, Hawkeye exclaims with a cheeky grin. What happened next? I ask, genuinely curious. How bad did he mess up? Anne smiled at him. He screeched, and then he ran away, Lucas says, clearly a little upset that she's arms are still around me. I laugh. That's even funnier than I thought. The bell rings. Well, see you guys at normal school, I say, waving goodbye. But your practices start after lunch, Lucas mentions with a saddened face. I want to do some research in the library, I shrug, slowly turning around. Can we come too? They all say in unison with large amounts of energy. It's amazing that I don't find this creepy. Sure, let's go, I grin as we walk to the library together. We could just teleport there, but it's more meaningful walking together. Do you have any clue why Brian acted like that? Hawkeye asks, turning to me. Some of the others also turn to me, with the same questioning expressions. Nope. All I have to say is when's the wedding? I hint with a laugh and toss my arm around Anne's shoulders. February 30th, Anne answers with a smirk. Cool, so we're going to a different universe? Samuel claps his hands. Can I be the priest? No, and sure, Anne chuckles, placing her hand on his head. Want to teleport? She finally speaks with a lazy tone. Sure, Lucas says. Looks like the meaningful walk didn't last long. What did you want to do here anyway? Hawkeye asks, looking for the books of Shisasi Hawkeye. She always manages to find some sort of information in those history books that were false, and she would just laugh at it. Heh, siblings. Found one that says we were siblings? She asks, turning to her, while holding a book on Japanese mythology. That's a new one. I'm surprised that it took so long for us to find one of those books. I hate how very few of them mention Demon, Hawkeye growls, slamming the book back on the shelf. Demon is her pet dog that was killed billions of years ago. He was making his way to Shi in an attempt to help her while she was getting beaten to death. However, she was already getting buried alive, and the ones that do mention Demon talk about him like he was a bad dog. One book that I found last week said that Demon was the one that killed our parents and later us in our sleep. Why don't you guys just make an autobiography? Lucas asks, looking at scrolls of water magic. We did. There's only one in the whole world, she mentions, watching Hawkeye get closer and closer to blowing up with anger. What happened to the rest? Lucas asks, noticing Hawkeye, and slowly starts backing away. No distance can save anyone from when she blows up. We only wrote one, and it lives with the last person I possessed. She died on May 5th, 2116. Hawkeye exclaims, opening another book. Which means that she was born April 5th, 2005, she says, looking at pictures of mythical creatures. Everyone that we have possessed always lives for 111 years in 1 month. That was the girl's name? What was the girl's name? Samuel asks, changing his arms between forms. We can never say her name, or else she'll be living out her days as a demon. Hawkeye shakes her head, with the anger in her eyes raging even harder than before. Demon was a bird? Are you kidding me? Maybe you should try reading something else, Anne suggests, looking at books of Harmonia, the immortal goddess of harmony and concord, who has the powers to read minds. Especially since it's making you so mad that you want to kill the next person that mentions your past incorrectly. Stop poking around inside my head, Hawkeye groans and slams the book back onto the shelf with a fierce rage. I continue to look around. I don't exactly know what I'm looking for, but I'm still looking. Lexis, did you find the book yet? Samuel asks, with the boredom in his voice echoing throughout the library. Why don't you find something to read? Lucas suggests, glancing over at him for a moment, then back to the scrolls. Reading is boring, Samuel sits up. This library is about 40 miles long. I bet that you'll find something interesting, she sighs. How about some books on beautiful monsters? I already read every single one, Samuel waves his hand in the air, dismissing the suggestion. There's a million books on that subject. Lucas yells in shock. I like pretty things, and I use takeover magic, Samuel rolls his eyes. I guess I could do some research on the god of poison. Who is it again? Goddess, and her name is Achilles. Hawkeye answers, this time slowly putting a book back. She was like a sister to me. I can't believe that we're older than her, she adds, wide-eyed. What about the demon of poison? Samuel asks, looking at a book on Achilles. That would be a Maimon, she answers, gazing upon the ground like he just saw a face coming out of the floor. He was my best friend like 6 possessions ago. I couldn't believe that he was a demon, especially poison. What's his story? I ask, still staring at the shelves. He was originally a normal person, until he saw Hawkeye and I change into our demon forms. Then he got obsessed with demons in the occult, and he tried summoning one. That demon possessed him, and at the time, the search for and killing of demons was the only thing on people's minds. So one night, he got caught killing some people who were bad-mouthing Hawkeye. He had a crush on her. They took his name and killed him, she explains, not moving his eyes or even blinking as he continues to stare at the ground. They managed to kill a demon? I ask, my face full of amazement. How is she and Hawkeye okay then? They were killed too. He wasn't a demon like them, Anne mentions, not looking up from her book. He was a demon straight from the original grimoire. We were people who were killed so brutally that our souls became enraged to the point where we became demons. We weren't born. We were changed, Hawkeye explains, still reading the inaccurate history books. Also, she, guess what? Imaimon is a prince of hell. Good for him. Maybe we should visit him sometime, she smirks. He certainly would love to see you again. I thought he was dead, I ask, turning my head to the side like a dog. Only his human form, she answers, turning to Hawkeye. Do you think that he still remembers me? I'd be amazed if he didn't, Hawkeye shrugs, a sad smile showing upon her lips. A deep, furious voice comes over the announcements. Hawkeye Shinit and she Hawkeye Teet, get out of my damn school already! See you guys later, she waves us goodbye as he drags Hawkeye away from the books. How many people do you think she killed while reading those books? Samuel asks, watching she throw her over his shoulder. Wait, why weren't they wearing the fihi? Anne asks, a look of fear rising on her face. I'm guessing that they teleported away before the staff can put them back on them, Lucas assumes, finally putting away the scrolls and books. Oh yeah, because they can't sign up with teams if they have the fihi on. And they probably didn't know that they were already on a team, I laugh softly, picking out a book of Jadis, the demon princess of water. Should we try only using demons for our spells? You know that's not a good idea, Anne reminds me with a serious sidelong stare. I know, but stronger and way more effective, I whine. Besides, we'll be taught about it eventually. You lose a lot every time you use a demon, though, Samuel says as he flips a page, looking like he's doing research with two books at the same time. Says the person of 6 different demon souls, Anne laughs. I walk up to one of the computers that are used to sign out books. Since the library and the number of students are so large, the student implemented these computers to help save time and not stress out the librarians. Finally decided? Samuel asked me, giving me a stare of annoyance. Damn, he really doesn't want to be here. Yep, I'll be signing out some potion books and books on both the demons and gods of fire, cold, and death. I answer with a smile so large my eyes nearly disappear. You're not serious, Anne rolls her eyes with annoyance in her voice. Yes, I am. Quickly sign out your books and let's get going. I smirk as the books spawn in a little bag on the machine. Lunch is almost over. I'll be signing out these books on Imaimon and Achilles, Samuel says, scanning the books then lowering his eyes to the identification scanner. I'll be signing out these books on Harmonia and Satori, Anne adds, hopping up to scan the books. You found another god of mind reading? Samuel asks as we leave the library. That's only 2, Anne beams with the excitement of finally getting to read them. She really is a nerd, but we still love her nonetheless. We make it to our lockers, and the bell rings. I see Samuel tucks his books into his locker like they don't cost his life. Anne is carefully placing them in her bag, like they're a 1-month-old baby. I just put them on the bottom of my locker. Yes, they are expensive, but not enough for me to wrap them up in a blanket and cradle them like they're living. See you guys later, I shout, waving them goodbye. Have fun at practice, Anne yells back. I wonder what practice is going to be like. I wonder how that poor guy that I attacked is doing. I wonder what was up with that dream. Hey, Lexis, right this way and take a seat. Daria smiles, pointing at the bleachers. Hey, quick question, I start, scratching the back of my neck. How is the guy that I used my spell on? 20 of our healers had to use high-level magic spells in order to get rid of some of the pain. Darius smiles, watching the other people walking towards us. He went home to get some rest. Good job, by the way. You'll be really useful to the Grim Reapers. Thanks, I guess. I look at the waves of people coming in, some with their friends, others alone. Oh yeah, I searched for the spell you used everywhere, but couldn't find it. Is it your own? Daria asks, clearly only paying attention to me and completely disregarding the other members. Yeah, it is. I combine all three of my powers. I stutter. I'm happy that she did so much research on only one spell. I feel so complimented. It's still a working project, though. Well, seeing how you perform at the first team competition, you have a very high chance of being promoted to team leader. Daria hugs me, cheerfulness in her every move. I bet this is fake as well. Where's Brian? We're starting soon, so take a seat. I take a seat on the bleachers with the rest of the people. Some of them are pretty normal looking. Natural hair, wacky styles, no excessive accessories. Except others are quite wild. Rainbow hair, mohawks, lots and lots of jewelry. They're also quite extremely loud. Alright, everybody. As of today, you are a Grim Reaper. Daria starts, her voice reaching every end of the bleachers. The team competitions start on Wednesday, September 15th. They will take place all day. The only breaks you will get are before school, during normal school, and after school. There will be no lunch, so make sure to have breakfast, get lots of rest, and plenty of training. A whispering erupts in the crowds. Alright, healers on one side, fighters on the other, Daria announces. Still, I wonder where is the team leader? Who is the team leader? We have approximately 25,732 people on this team, and we're only allowed 15 fighting at a time, so we have to figure out who is our strongest. Everyone stops, turns, and stares at her slowly raising her hands and stares at her slowly raising their hands to point at her. One voice calls out, "You're second in the whole school." I'm a sorcerer in training, so I have to participate as little as possible, Daria explains, and an eruption of disappointed groans slowly rises and falls. That's a stupid rule, one kid mutters, with smoke swirling around him. One kid near him with sparks as his power is smiling a menacing smile. Don't you even think about it. You there, what's your name? I ask. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm the boss of him. He probably even has a higher rank than me. Jackson Spiritus. My rank is 158. I'm in grade 11 and my powers are smoke and super strength. The boy answers. Damn, he has a lower rank than me. And you, Spark Boy? Daria asks, matching my demanding energy from before. I'm Darius Jumple. My rank is 689. I'm also in grade 11, and my powers are Spark and Invisibility. Spark Boy answers. And my name isn't Spark Boy. Get in line, Daria commands them. Yes, ma'am. They both sigh in unison. We have 25,732 people in 8,578 of them are healers. That's not very many to choose from. Personally, I think that having 5 to 7 healers on one team would be the best choice. Alright, we've got 30 minutes to see what everyone's got. We've already tested you all on some basic strengths and weaknesses, so we are aware of where you're all at. Daria exclaims, shouting above the occasional whisper of the crowd. We have battles 10 times a month, so our teams will be ranked. We will have 17 teams, and everyone will be working on the sidelines until they're good enough. We will have 6 healers per team. What are the teams? Jaskinax asks, shouting loud enough through the crowd to just barely get her attention. On team one, the healers will be Rachel Spiritus, Nava Winter, Dante Kenji, Nova Kenji, Leaf Rocco, Zebediah Zakai, and Zevulon Zeitz. Daria lists, the fighters will be Lexus Deathchill, Jas Conspiratus, Darius Jumple, Amphion Zeitz, Ain Harmony, Hestia Hero, Persephone Zeitz, and Valor of Pal. Everyone that was just called gathers together in the center of the field, in between everyone else. We have researchers who have made these teams and decided that this was the best lineup. The researchers are Palamon Vaclav, Vanyar Veit, and Vasil Kadem. Daria explains, why do I have to be with him? Jaskin asks, pointing at Darius Jumple. You will know soon enough, Palamon Vaclav answers, rolling his eyes. The people who have already been placed on a team, you may leave to your normal school now, Vanyar Veit announces, turning his back from Vasil Kadem, who is asking him questions. The next meeting is Monday after lunch. Don't be late, Vasil Kadem yells as he waves us goodbye. Everyone is already talking to each other, asking for their WeNip social media site, and planning on hanging out on the weekend to train. A few of them turn to me and ask me a question, but I don't respond. Wonder how many of them think I have a pull up my ass or so far. I just want to catch up with my friends. I don't really care about what they have planned or what they think. I get to my class where I see Mrs. Jerper listening to music and dancing around the room. Her youthful energy is uplifting. I'm glad to see that she has her innocence. I mumble. Oh! Mrs. Jerper screams in shock, stopping in place and nearly knocking some stuff off her desk. You're an amazing dancer, I laugh, slowly walking to the basket of tikis. There's a brooch of a skull. I've never seen it before. Thank you. Mrs. Jerper notices me checking out the brooch. Your friend's got it for you, so you can keep it. Oh, okay, I say as I pin it on my jacket. When did they get the time to get me a brooch? Now get out, Mrs. Jerper yells, suddenly remembering that I saw her dancing. See ya, I grin as I teleport out. I teleported into a bush outside of the school. It is quite a nice day today. It's very rare that you'll ever experience any sort of weather in the land of magic. It mainly looks like space the entire time. Stars and galaxies everywhere. Also, with all the people changing the weather to suit themselves, you never actually experience non-magical nature. I walk into the office and am greeted by the secretary. Her name is Janice. She's quite overweight, but her thick, beautiful hair helps distract us from her triple chin. I feel bad for even thinking that, because she's so kind. I hope nothing bad ever happens to her. She deserves the world. Good morning, Lexus, Janice grants me. How's the martial arts competition? I'm guessing that the school said I had martial arts or something. It was awesome. I won every single match, and I'm going into the semifinals on Monday. I'm quite proud of myself for making this up at the top of my head. I'm also being invited to a few more professional teams, and I'm training some new fighters. Just don't work yourself too hard. You still need to live your childhood. Janice laughs. She's so nice. It's a shame that she's unable to have kids. She'd be such an amazing mother. Thank you. Have an amazing day, I praise as I wave her goodbye and head to my class. I wonder what Julian is doing right now. I wonder if he got kicked out yet. I walk into class where I'm greeted by Mr. Snyder, already lecturing Julian and my friends. You are all so stupid and worthless, Mr. Snyder is yelling at the top of his lungs, almost reaching an inaudible pitch. He notices me enter the classroom. Oh boy, another one. Why are you always so late? You guys will end up working at McDonald's if you keep this up. He's still screaming and lecturing us as I walk over to take my seat with my friends. In fact, he continues to scream and yell at us for about 7 more minutes, although of course I'm not paying any attention. He does this too much for anyone to really pay attention. Why hasn't anyone come to check up on us yet? Why is it that nobody is even a tiny bit worried about us? Mr. Snyder stops all of a sudden and walks to his desk. He places his hands in his head and lets out an aggravated sigh.
Some of us are coloring, passing notes, whispering to each other, and others are texting or playing on their phone. None seemed to show any interest in anything Mr. Snyder had to say. "Hey, Lexis," Julian whispers to me. "Oh, hey, Julian," I whisper back, checking to see if Mr. Snyder noticed. "What's up?" "I was wondering where you would like to hang out this weekend," Julian asks, looking around to see if anyone is eavesdropping. I've completely forgotten that I made plans to hang out with him this weekend. Everyone keeps talking to me like it's a date, but it's really not. "There's this one place I've been wanting to go to for a while," I whisper. Lucas looks up, noticing that we're talking. "I'm probably getting too loud. I should quiet down. It's called Meetup." "Then let's go there," Julian smiles, putting his arm around me. "Why is he doing that? It's not a date. Everyone will get the wrong idea. How about we meet up outside of the school at 8. "A.M. or P.M.?" I ask, hoping for him to take his arm off of me. I don't want people to stare at us. "P.M., of course," Julian quietly chuckles, still not taking his arm off me. "I'll have you home by 10. "Okay," I laugh. The distaste of his arm being around me promptly fades. Those eyes, they're so beautiful. They're almost brainwashing me. "Have fun on your date," Anne giggles, looking up from her book. Lucas looks at her, and back at us, then at Julian's arm. Why did he react that way? She passes me a note. I turn away from Julian so I can read it. In a serious-like scribble, it says, "Hallway. Now." She gets up and exits the classroom. The teacher doesn't seem to care one bit. I get up and slowly walk out of the room, trying to not disturb the teacher from his little breakdown. "Where are you going?" Julian asks, taking my hand. I'm a little uncomfortable by that, but I won't say anything. I don't want to make a scene. "Nowhere," I answer, as I pull myself free and continue to leave. Why did I say it like that? Why was I so damn rude? He didn't deserve it. I should have been more polite. I exit the classroom where I see she leaning against the wall, picking out his tiki. "Make sure it doesn't fall off," I say with a little laugh. "Can't have anyone seeing. You know he likes you, right?" she mentions, completely ignoring what I just said. "No, he doesn't," I yell, just quiet enough for no one in the classroom to stare. It sounded like I was a mother lecturing my child. She rolls his eyes and pulls me into a hug. "Just don't go falling in love, okay?" Only with that hug, I realized how cold the hallway was. So cold. Yet with the help of she, so warm. Okay, I stutter, returning the hug. We don't break the hug for a few minutes. Hope rises inside of me with the expectation of this never ending. I feel so safe in his arms. He looks up at the door. I'm able to slightly twist my head and follow his gaze. It's Julian. He looks so upset, but it's just a hug. Why is he so sad? "He likes you," she whispers to me, a hint of maliciousness in his voice. And now he thinks we're dating. His heart just broke. The end. And that is chapter 4 of my novel, Death Chill, which is available for purchase. So now, let's get into that scene. The sky has turned a lighter shade of orange. My knees stumble from side to side as I lazily make my way up this hill of white. Bits of red splotches stain the ground, but it won't be long before they disappear, just like what was once a land of blue, and society's mindset of purple. So many people have become gray, some even just splotches in everyone's vision, nobody acknowledging one another. What happened to my age of pink and yellow? Why is everything so dark and black? First up, the first sentence. The sky has turned a lighter shade of orange. My knees stumble from side to side as I lazily make my way up this hill of white. In this case, orange can mean confidence, health, and vitality. White can mean purity, innocence, clean simplicity, and peace. Knees stumbling can also mean its own thing. Bits of red splotches stain the ground, but it won't be long before they disappear, just like what was once a land of blue and society's mindset of purple. Red can mean violence, aggression, and danger. Blue can mean calm, harmony, loyalty, and tranquility. Purple can mean spirituality, ambition, fantasy, and mystery.
So many people have become gray, some even just splotches in everyone's vision, nobody acknowledging one another. Gray can mean neutral, conservative, practical, and quiet. Splotches can also mean its own thing. What happened to my age of pink and yellow? Pink can mean love, youth, immaturity, and compassion. Yellow can mean warmth, imagination, and growth. Why is everything so dark and black? In this case, black can mean cold, serious, evil, death, and tense. So, let's quickly read over this scene again, and then let's get into what it means. The sky has turned a lighter shade of orange. My knees stumble from side to side as I lazily make my way up this hill of white. Bits of red splotches stain the ground, but it won't be long before they disappear, just like what was once a land of blue and society's mindset of purple. So many people have become gray, some even just splotches in everyone's vision, nobody acknowledging one another. What happened to my age of pink and yellow? Why is everything so dark and black? So now, take a few seconds, pause if you need to, then I'll translate it for you all. In this case, the world has gained more confidence and vitality. This person is drained and weak as they struggle with walking up a hill of innocence, one that they may have ran up when they were a child. Though, you can see bits of aggression and danger with all of the innocence, sticking out like a long-lasting trauma. The anger will eventually fade, though, just like how society's mindset of ambition and fantasy faded, as well as the disappearance of the land's harmony and tranquility. Due to all of the change in violence, society has become quiet and neutral. Some people not even recognizable, most likely due to them being a lower class. Their days of youthfulness, love, and warmth are gone. They have been replaced with tension, cold, and seriousness. The world of wonder has disappeared, and now they have to trudge through the new world of darkness and fear. What did you all think this scene meant? Though I will not be giving another scene this episode, since these do take a lot of time. But if you truly love hearing these scenes and their translations, then tell me. Leave a review telling me if you actually enjoy listening to these scenes, and I'll start them up again. Check out my newly published novels on Amazon called Death Chill and Flame Rip, link in description. Check out the Creative Writing Discord server in the description. Check out the Creative Writing Club Instagram at creativewriting_club. Check out my personal Instagram at dark_night_wolves. Let's bring this extremely long meeting to an end.